you would, take your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. We'll only be reading one verse from Jonah. And from there we're going to go to 2 Kings. It's going to be a little bit out of character today as far as the way we're going to go about the preaching here in the second service. Just want to kind of give an introduction and just kind of let you know briefly how we're going to go about preaching or teaching through the book of Jonah in the upcoming weeks. I'd like to just kind of give you a little bit of background information on the book of Jonah. See another place where Jonah is mentioned. Then we'll see the reference that Jesus makes to it, and that the way that Jesus interprets it is the way that we should seek to interpret it. And then I'll give you just a brief outline of the book of Jonah, and that's depending heavily upon a Zondervan commentary by a commentator named Kevin Youngblood. So if you would, before we go ahead and get into the introduction to the book of Jonah, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time that you've given us today. Lord, I pray that this message would serve to prepare our minds for the upcoming messages on the book of Jonah. Lord, I pray that this book would be preached faithfully. And Lord, I pray that you would use it to bless people's heart. Lord, I pray that you would help us to use the Scriptures rightly. I pray that the Scriptures would be used correctly. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would come in power to us. So I don't want just sound doctrine to be proclaimed. Yes, that's the goal. I want sound interpretation, but more than anything else, we need your Holy Spirit. You promise in your Gospel that you will give your Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so we come before you as needy souls, in need of you, in need of Christ in union and fellowship with Him, and of need of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to apply the Scripture message to us. Lord, as our pastor mentioned this morning, we, yes, have to preach sound doctrine, and you know, we have to fill our minds with sound doctrine, but that doctrine has to be applied. So I pray, Father, that you would bless us in that way. And that we would make application of your word. And that the Holy Spirit would come in power to our lives. And Lord, bless us today as we now open up your word, the bread of life. It is in Christ's name that we come before you, seeking blessing in Him and only in Him. Amen. So where is the book of Jonah found? The book of Jonah is found in a part of the Old Testament that is called the Minor Prophets. It's 12 books of prophets. And here in Jonah 1 and verse 1, we find these words. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. As we look into the original languages, another possible translation of this first verse would be, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. There's no other prophetical book that is opened up like this. And the book of Jonah is different from the way the other prophets write. And there's a reason behind all of it. And there's even a reason behind the first word, and. It looks like that the author of Jonah is talking to his audience and he's saying, this is a continuation of what you already know about Jonah. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Where had Jonah been mentioned before? He had been mentioned in one place in the Old Testament. So if you would, go ahead and go with me to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. And we'll read from verse 25, or we can go ahead and read from verse 23 down to verse 27. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Verse 25. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of the Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, which was very bitter. For there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper for Israel. The Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And what's next, as far as what the scriptures say about Jonah? After that, we have Jonah 1:1, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So what we have here are two different narratives. One where God shows mercy to a rebellious covenant people, Israel. And then we have God showing mercy in the book of Jonah to Nineveh, an Assyrian city. Assyria was one of the nations in the hand of God that God used to punish His Old Testament covenant people for their rebellion and for their disobedience. So we can say that the book of Jonah is about mercy. The mercy of God. Jonah preached one message of God's mercy towards His covenant people. And now God in Jonah 1:1 is sending him to preach a message of mercy to those that are outside of Israel. The book of Jonah is about God showing mercy to a rebellious people, which brings about repentance in their hearts and in their lives. There's much more there, but that's a good way to get us started. We have a mention of Jonah in 2 Kings chapter 14. Also from the mouth of our Savior in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus calls Jonah a prophet. With this, we see that the message is a message of mercy, but we also see that this is a true story. This is not something that is make-believe, but this story of Jonah is set within the context of Israelite history. We've seen the overall message of the book of Jonah, a message of mercy towards a rebellious people. We see that Jonah is a historical person that is found, that his, the story of this one area of his life is found in the minor prophets. And we can see that this book is really quite a bit different from the other minor prophets. The other minor prophets had messages. They had visions. They had a prophetic word that was spoken to them to give to the people. But here in Jonah, we have a historical narrative. A historical narrative of a relationship between Jonah the prophet and his God, Yahweh, the Lord. The commentator that I mentioned before thinks that this difference, and it sounds good, and we're going to see throughout this book of Jonah if he's right or not, but it looks like that the story of Jonah is a commentary on the prophetic message in general of the Bible. We see in Jonah, which is also found in the prophets, but we find it in Jonah in historical narrative. How does God's mercy relate to His justice and His righteousness? How does God's mercy relate to His justice and His righteousness without Him ceasing to be merciful and without Him ceasing to be righteous? And we can also ask this question, which is a question that the minor prophets appear to be encountering. How is it that a sovereign God, that is sovereign over all nations, relate to His covenant people Israel, and relate to those that are outside of that covenant, without canceling His sovereignty, either over His nation or over creation? We have another difference in this book of Jonah. There's not really a lot of time setting in the book of Jonah. As we read through the prophets, we find that the word of the Lord came to this prophet in the year of this king. And it's so that we know the historical context. We don't find that in Jonah. Why would that be? In Jonah, we only see, "And the word of the Lord came." There's a couple of possibilities. One, there's not a lot of historical details given because this story is meant to go beyond time to us. It's not a story, this story that is given is not limited. Now, it's set in a historical context, but it's to have the universal reach. It's to go even further than just the people of Israel. As we can see, Jonah is sent to Nineveh to preach. Another possibility is that the author doesn't want to bog us down with historical details. He wants us to see the theology of the book. God's mercy is what he wants to set forth. Not necessarily times and dates, even though those things are important at times. Now, this book of Jonah comes to us, I think that we can divide it into seven different parts. We see here where we start reading in Jonah chapter 1 that the word of the Lord comes to him. And then we read the same thing in chapter 3. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. That divides the book up into two very important parts. But we see the same sequence two times, and then there's a change. We see God commissioning Jonah to go preach. Then we see Jonah having dealings with Gentiles, people that are not Jews. He flees to Tarshish. He gets on a boat. He buys a ticket. He might even rent the whole boat. There might be indications that he's even renting the whole boat to flee from the presence of God. And so he's running from God, and he has an encounter with Gentiles that call upon their God. But Jonah is found sleeping down in the boat. And so we find a commission to preach, we find dealing with Gentiles, and then we find a prayer of Jonah to the Lord. And we find that two different times. And then the book ends differently. It ends with a commentary, the Lord speaking to Jonah. And the Lord saying, "How am I not to have mercy on many people and even their animals that are there in that city?" And the story is almost left hanging. But there's a reason for that, and we'll see that later on. Now, in order to interpret the meaning of this book, in order to preach through it, we have to interpret the book of Jonah in the light of the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ has a few words to say on Jonah. So let's go ahead and go there. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 38 down to verse 41. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment, and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." And so in Jonah, the disobedient prophet, we have a negative example of what Christ, the prophet that was greater than Moses, came to do. And just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale or the sea monster 3 days and three nights, Christ was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights and was risen again to give a start, to begin the new creation. And here we see a wonderful example. Christ is also saying, if Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, you will be much more responsible because I am here. Christ is preached to you. And so Nineveh will stand up at the judgment and will condemn this generation because Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. But I am greater than Jonah. And if you do not repent, this generation, the generation of Nineveh, will judge you. We also find all kinds of language in the book of Jonah. We find creation language, the same words used in Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. Are used in at least one area of the book of Jonah, if not another. We have things that make us remember other prophets of the Old Testament, like Elijah. Remember when Elijah was upset and he went up and cried and he was weeping and on Mount Carmel? Well, we see Jonah going up on a mountain as well. So there are a lot of things that we find here that are going to lead us to some conclusions about the meaning of this story. The greatest meaning being a merciful God that sends a prophet and a Savior much greater than Jonah to save a rebellious people from their sins. We also see Jonah in his prayer. Go ahead and, if you would like to go to it, Jonah chapter 4. And verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said, Jonah prayed, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." we see something strange here. The mercy of God and the character of God in Jonah's thinking led him to disobey. Whereas the mercy of God and the character of God has as its, or knowing that, has as its goal obedience. Why does Jonah disobey? We're going to find out. And I hope it opens up our heart. I don't want to get into it yet, because these things are slowly revealed throughout the book of Jonah. And so I don't want to jump to those things. I would like us to take that at the time that the Bible brings these things to us. And I hope that this opens up our heart so that we can examine ourselves and see how we are reacting. What reaction do we have to the knowledge of God? Jonah is quoting Exodus 34, where God passes before Moses and he proclaims the name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord. And he says exactly what Jonah says here. I am God, a gracious and a compassionate God. I am slow to anger and abundant loving kindness. So this book will open up to us God's mercy. But when it opens up God's mercy, it's also going to give us a chance to examine our hearts and to make sure that God's mercy and that God's character is leading us on to growth in a life of obedience and a life of enjoyment of God, and not the other way around like it was in the case of Jonah. So please, I crave for your prayers during this sermon series. I'd like to close just with some final thoughts. The mercy of God in your life. What has God's mercy led you to? Is God's mercy leading you on to a life of obedience and growth and enjoyment of God? And taking pleasure in your relationship with God and seeking to build that relationship up by faith, love, and obedience? If not, come to the cross, which is the place where God's mercy is demonstrated above any other place. And it is where mercy and truth kiss, as the psalmist said. Where justice and righteousness and love and mercy and grace, they all come together so we get a full picture of who God is without having to forget anything of what He is. We see that He's righteous and we see that He's merciful. We see that He's righteous in His awful punishment of sin on His own Son, and we see His grace and His love flowing to us through that crimson tide, through the blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If mercy, if God, the mercy of God has led you on to new obedience and to greater obedience, glory to God. Stay at the foot of the cross where God's mercy is most greatly perceived. Continue there. And God will continue to grow you. Maybe you're here outside of Christ and you know it. Stop resisting God's mercy. It's only that mercy that can wash your sins. It's only that mercy that can give you a new heart that desires to obey for the glory of God. Come to the cross. Come to Christ. So I pray that Jonah will lead us to a greater understanding of the mercy of God. I pray that Jonah will lead us to examine ourselves in our own lives and how are we responding to the knowledge of God that we have. And I hope that Jonah, my prayer is that Jonah will lead us to be a people, a church, families soaked in the mercy of God that is found at the cross. In the Lord, in our Lord, in our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for this time of more than anything else, information. Lord, I pray that this information would not just float around in our heads and our minds, but I pray that this information that we've received, oh Lord, would lead us to your presence, to know you and to love you and to serve you with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our might. I pray, oh God, that we would be a people given over to you, that we would not hold anything back, and that we would seek to obey even when it costs us, because our relationship with you is that important. Oh Lord, I pray that you would truly make yourself great before us through preaching through this book of Jonah. I pray that you would make yourself great so that we would give ourselves over in complete service to you. And I pray that we would truly delight ourselves in you. And I pray that you would bless us with yourself. You've said throughout all of your covenants in the Old Testament, and as we find all of those promises come together in the New Covenant, as we see those things brought to fulfillment, that you are our God and we are your people. I pray that this would be our overarching story, that this would be the story of our life, that we are your people and that you are our God, and that you would now lead us on to greater obedience, to more heartfelt obedience of you, and that we would find delight and pleasure in you. It is in Christ's name that we come before you, pleading that you would bless the message today and the messages that are forthcoming. In Christ's name, amen.